5:35.
Interesting.
This is it?
I'd like to call the IBISB committee to order. Today is Wednesday, August 15, 2018. Stanley Stern is present, Denise Loth is not present, Fred Miller is present, Rob Page is not present, Kathy Snowden is here, Will Nathan is excused, and Carrie Gustafson is here. Doug Dunn, as council liaison, is present.
There is no one here
for call to the public.
Nina is here.
And Nina is here too. Hello, Nina. I'm going to move to, we have motions to approve of this meeting?
No, sir, I'm so sorry.
That's fine. That's not a problem. We're going to move then to item one. This is going to take a little time. This is a discussion and possible action regarding the next steps of Local First Arizona and the working relationship with the IBISB committee. What we're talking about here is several of us have had conversations. IBISB is the Economic Development Committee of the council. The Local First Initiative is not economic development. It is, if we look at it, what I envision, it's the molding of a business group in our town, taking the place of what normally would be a chamber of commerce if that were active. But a business group that is an active business group, and as someone said at our last meeting, the voice of the business community. Because that's not a, was that you, Carrie? Because that's not an economic development piece.
I disagree with you on that, but.
Okay, we can talk about that. I feel that it belongs in a separate committee outside of the city government role and deals as a committee that will move to try to bring this about. Fred and I met with Freeport-McMoRan, Robert Quintanara, and he had on the phone, she identified herself in the, from
Jessica,
the foundation.
Jessica Nolan.
Yeah.
But Jessica Nolan was on the phone with us. And we talked about this, and she was encouraging that we would make an application to them. She also was encouraging that it would be outside of the realm of city government. Now, encouragement does not mean approval, but we were encouraged. They liked the idea, and they particularly liked the idea of working with Kimber Lanning, who is a person they have supported in the past. Fred, does that capitalize it pretty well?
Yeah, I think so. Jessica is a community liaison
right. For
them. She's not on the foundation.
Right. I thought she identified herself in the foundation.
Well, she oversees, though, the small social investment grants.
Right, but she's not part.
She's not the big
her job
foundation
is,
grants.
Her job is not the foundation.
Yeah, that's Tracy. Yeah.
That's Tracy, yeah.
We spoke with her about a foundation grant. The foundation grants that we talked about, I asked if a $40,000 grant would give her heartburn, and it would not. But the grant takes a 25% match. And I don't think that should come from the city coffers.
25%?
25% match.
Like 10 grand.
There's also $10,000 grants that do not require a match, is that right?
Well, they require an in-kind. They can accept an in-kind match.
They also give things under 10 that don't have any match.
It.
Yeah.
But
ten
if there's
a
an
cap.
In-kind, they want to see that you cap. Are also investing, but it doesn't have to be cash.
Right.
And then they're under 10,000.
Well, so what I wanted to do is open this up for discussion with the committee to see what you think. I've given you my idea that I believe we're an economic development committee, and I can make a limited case that this type of work is for economic development because a strong business community will be good for tourism.
But well, that, for everybody.
Well, for everybody, but I'm not sure if that's a solid enough argument. Fred, what are your thoughts? And Carrie, then yours, and Kathy, we'll go around the table.
As this process has gone along over the last year, I've become increasingly discomforted by, I think we've gone down the wrong path with local first. And part of it is my experience with the chamber and experience with Better Bisbee.
You have scar tissue.
Yeah. And I just don't think it's our role to get involved in building the business community. I mean, basically. That's a top-down kind of thing. It should come up from other business owners and stuff. And I'd be willing to participate apart from my Bisbee. So I think that's taken us away from what other avenues, such as trying to attract tech workers or tech companies, the assisted living kind of stuff, just regular pumping for other businesses, business expansion and stuff. So our focus has been, we were going this way, and then all of a sudden Kimber did that survey, and pretty soon we're off over here rather than over here. So I personally don't think that iBisbee should get involved in this any longer. I know it's badly needed. I know Local First probably could do a good job. Kimber could do a good job of bringing some unity, some needed unity to businesses in Bisbee. But I think it's got to come from business people, and I just don't feel it. You know, I mean, you watch Kathy, what she's been doing, and she does it by herself with the help of a couple other people, and has for some years. The Bisbee, I mean, it's like pulling teeth to get people to participate in any kind of way, and there doesn't seem to be any upswelling of a need for an organization. By the same token, we can see, because just of our own efforts, we can see that it's a necessity to have a business voice. It's a necessity to have a business voice, a relative unified business voice at council meetings for various kinds of issues and stuff. So, and to just talk a little bit about the future of Bisbee, you know, in terms of businesses. And it's really needed. So, and I think that's why I personally have kind of gone along this path and stuff, but I've been feeling this is not a good fit for us. So I'm down to the point where, no, I don't think it's good for us to do this.
Why don't you talk about your LLC idea?
Okay. One of my thoughts is that on the iBisbee committee, we have a leadership group from our business community and from our city, and people who are known for getting things done. My idea is that we would form outside of city government an ad hoc committee. And that ad hoc committee would be composed initially of iBisbee members who wanted to do this, as well as maybe bringing some other people in that we thought were important.
Well, it wouldn't be so much a committee as it may be like an Economic Development Council.
Right.
Title. Right.
Well,
that
I mean, we'll come up with a title, but the reason I use ad hoc, because it's not part of the iBisbee committee. I'm using...
Well, get rid of ad hoc and get rid of committee, and it's going to be an outside...
It would be an outside group.
Organization.
Be an outside group. Basically, with people from iBisbee who wanted to be involved. That was my idea. Kathy, what do you think?
I don't know. I've got scar tissue too. I don't know. I don't know how many people we could even get involved.
How we can what?
Get businesses involved, because people don't want to go to meetings.
Right.
They sort of want everything to be their way, but they don't want to have to. And I think it's almost more fragmented now than it was 5 years ago.
I
mean, there's Subway, and they're all about themselves. And the Gulch is much more insular than it used to be. It's gotten less cohesive, I think, over the last 5 years rather than more. Like the people on Subway didn't even want to let the Pirate Weekend use Subway on the second weekend. And they don't own that street, but they think they do. I mean, they gave her a lot of grief. So we've created some monsters here.
Well,
where people think they own their area of town, and I don't know how collaborative people are going to be.
The only way we can find that out is see if we can pull it together. I mean, Kathy,
it'll be Fred and I at every meeting.
Oh, no. No, I'm done with it.
No, I mean, seriously, though. I respect. Carrie, what do you think?
Well, I have a unique situation because I'm not in any of these clusters. We serve everybody. And we are a tourist-based organization in terms of paying our bills, but we're a community-based organization in terms of who we are and the stories we tell and the collections we have. So we have our own little kind of nook. I feel very possessive of Grassy Park. We put a lot of time and effort into that, so I have my little nook too. But I would go with just looking at it over the years from my perspective, there needs to be some kind of stronger voice for the business community, but it doesn't sound like the business community is willing to work to that now.
I think that the council people should be stronger voices for the business community, but they're not.
Well, but that's one of the things in an organization, like, again, picking up Carrie's term, would be the voice of the business community. Doug, what do you think?
We've kind of had this discussion before, I guess. So, just a couple of additional pieces of information that may or may not be pertinent. I've got an email here from, I guess it's from Carrie Bagley, in which it says, quote, a city councilman has done a, information request for what we have spent, what the council has spent on local first expenditures.
Okay.
And so obviously there is someone, I think I kind of know who most likely is, who wants to use this politically. And the total has been $7,697.
Right. Over what, 4 or 5 years?
Right, over.
Yeah. Okay, well, that sort of normalizes it a little bit.
And it was interesting that, well, it was a week or so ago that I participated in, what they call it, the video at Bisbee Beans and Rice for candidates. And for some reason, as a filler, they paired me up with Leslie Johns after I had made my presentation. And I don't know why, but anyway, so I had an opportunity to kind of interact with her, and it was interesting what she said at that time was she did a lot of quotes from the Kimber-Lanning study, which she was using as a critical assessment of Main Street and economic development in Bisbee and why she should be elected to the council, I guess. And so
that was her job in that, right. That rice and beans or beans and rice thing.
And of course, I've already expressed, you know, some of my concerns in terms of the findings of that particular, the Kimber-Lanning study and her presentation to us in terms of the criticism of
Hello?
Lucy.
Hello?
I worked in the Middle East, and it sounds so much like the Arab houseboys. Hello? Hello? Are you home?
I thought it was
great.
Well, that was just, I guess, interesting that she was choosing to use that against the city. And of course, I had, you know, voiced similar concerns when I reviewed the results of that study. Because, so anyway...
I'm sorry, I'm not following.
She used the Kimber-Lanning survey results against the city and against the tourism effort.
Okay, but what about the Kimber-Lanning survey results were against the city?
Well, she made all of them that she's made before in terms of, you know, disconnect between the city and the business community, the chamber or the economic development, I mean the tourism program is misguided.
We don't have a tourism program.
Yeah, we do. Jen does it.
Jen.
Right.
Well, and it's not misguided unless you just don't know what she's doing.
I think she means Jen.
And all things, you know, we're a party town. All the things that Kimber Lanning indicated in her report in terms of which are can be interpreted as criticism of our tourism program and what Jenna is doing. And it was used in that way. But certainly, I can certainly conclude, I guess, that there is no council support for funding of iBISB for things of this nature.
And that's okay, too, because
we decided not to go after.
Correct.
We decided in our conversations, our sidebar conversations, that we would be much better doing this as a business group, not attached to government.
Correct, and that's why I'm reinforcing that.
Quite frankly, Doug, this group, if put together right, may have problems with something the council's doing, and may in fact lobby against the council and say,
I hope so.
So that would be the kind of thing. The only way I know, here's what I'm thinking. I've thought about this a little bit. If we put together a group of, really smart people, and the people on this table are smart, we put together a group of that, and then we worked out a way to come up with a planning grant of how we would work with Kimber Lanning. Is this one of our people? Or?
No.
How we would work with Kimber Lanning, and work with Kimber Lanning, but on a smaller scale. And then go to the business community and say, these are the ideas that we have. Then, Kathy, I guess we get a sense if we have secular use, sectional maybe is a better word, or whether we can begin to mold an effort and then bring Kimber Lanning in to work with the business community and the development of that. Under another grant from Freeport. I don't want Kimber Lanning to work for free. And I don't want us to not have enough money to be able to pay her appropriately. I guess I say that coming out of a consulting world. But so that's the kind of the idea.
But I think you have two issues though going here, because one's going to negate the other. A, does iBISB continue at all with the Local First group, with this idea of the business voice? And it sounds like there's not a lot of support for that.
No, I think iBISB divorces itself from the Local First Arizona initiative.
Yes, okay.
As a committee.
But then when we were talking about this, it's sort of like, well, my question to Stanley was, first off, you don't have the time right now to do the foundation grants.
No way.
So my suggestion was, if you want to go this kind of route, to go see if you can get a planning grant to set up the structure, to try it, and then sell it to the business community. If they don't want it at that point,
then you're done.
Then you're completely. And that could, I don't know if iBISB would take it that far or not, but if iBISB goes away from all of this, then it's a moot point to talk about grants or structures or business voices.
No, my thought was that iBISB is no longer involved with Local First Arizona, but what is involved is, what's the name of the group that you laid out? He had a name
LLC?
For it. Well, I know it's a limited liability corporation.
It's like an economic development council.
I know it's a limited liability corporation.
But that sounds awfully grandiose for what we would have.
I mean, we would put a name to it that would not be overly...
Oh, to get the grant, you're
to
saying.
Get the grant.
Well, no, you no, LLC can't get a grant. It would make it a group that would have to partner with a nonprofit.
We would ask the profit with the foundation, because we need a 501c3 to be able to work with this. I mean, Freeport cannot give it to something that's not a 501c3.
But if there's not a group out there to carry this through, then it's why bother to go in that direction at all?
That's what I think. I think you're beating a dead horse. I just don't think that an outside organization formed by a couple people here, two or three or four people here, is going to float. I just don't think so. You have to have a meeting of other people in the business community.
Well, that's
to talk
what
about.
It would be to build that in the business community.
Well, look at how much luck we have getting people from the business community to come to our meeting.
That's true.
I mean, it's.
I don't know. I mean, if somebody, if you or Stan or anybody, Kathy, anybody wants to go ahead and do that, fine with me. I do not want to be involved in that. It's
that's not my job. People keep dumping things on me thinking it's my job, and that's not
it. No, and it's not my job, and it's not her job. I mean, if I thought that it would be fruitful, I would do something like that, but I just don't think it's going to be fruitful. You know, if and I personally don't have the energy, but if somebody went around to talk to some of the people on Subway and some of the people on the Gulch and stuff and say, you know, you guys want to form a business community? Do you want to form a business organization? And what's the form of it? You're going to have to put some energy in it because it's not going to come from anybody else but you. And if somebody wanted to do that and went around to that and got a sense about that, then that's one thing. But I just don't see it there. I
don't think that, at least I don't know about Warren and San Jose because I live and work up in Old Bisbee, but I don't feel Old Bisbee would really be wanting to spend time on it. Just the sense I get and what you guys are saying. I know that the Kimber Landing survey bothered me a bit because it's 64 people.
Right.
And there were things in there that were odd. And
agreed.
But there
I'm really happy
that
we've
true
already
too
made the decision a number of meetings to go to veer off that. So that's no longer something that it's a platform that we're dealing with here as iBisbee. And if the business community isn't ready or doesn't want to kind of come together to create this kind of more unified voice, fine.
But I think the business community, I'm an outsider. Total outsider. I obviously made my living in the banking world outside of Bisbee. But wait a second. First thing, if we came up with a structure of what this would look like, working with Kimber, and then went to the business community and said, this is what we're thinking about. What are your thoughts? And literally tried to bring the business community and go initially to individual business owners and really talk about this and see, because the one thing that came out of this conversation tonight was no one saying we don't need this. I haven't heard that. What I've heard is, do we have the energy to do it, number one? Number two, are we going to beat our heads against the wall in doing this? But seems to me that you need some form, and again, I'm an outsider, but some form of coordinated group that speaks for the business community. I mean, I spent 4 years in local government in Indianapolis and dealt with the business community. And there, my dealings with the business community were through the Chamber of Commerce. Plus, the mayor organized a group of really senior business people that he would meet with every 2 months. And I would sit in those meetings, like the chairman of the board of Eli Lilly, this type of thing, the bank chairman, and talking about what the city needs, that type of thing. Now that was considered the best managed city in the country at the time. But I see a need for this. I see a way to get some money. I see Kimber Landing as a resource. We do know that she has been successful in other communities. Now, I also know she has a bad taste in her mouth when it comes to Bisbee over something that happened 6-7 years ago. I don't know, were you there, Carrie, when it happened? Or were you there?
Yeah, I was there. It was when Cynthia was there.
Okay, I mean, it was obviously bad.
It was bad. Okay. It was Cynthia and Tom Nelson, and it was a mess.
I wasn't there.
You know, I personally think a different approach is necessary. And the different approach is the council people, the mayor, putting out a general call for, we want to have an open meeting with the Bisbee business community. We want to hear what your concerns are. I think the council has to reach out.
Gee, what a concept.
And
that's what I've been saying for 13 years.
For businesses, not for anything else, but for businesses. And then see what comes out of that. Because when I talked with Kimber, I was saying that I thought we could have a big meeting of all businesses and stuff. And she says, no, she didn't think that was good. You had to do groundwork and stuff like that. And that may be, and she may very well be right. But if the council, some council members or some of the councils or the mayor took the initiative and said, we want to have a listening meeting. We want to, as city officials, we want to hear what businesses have to say about where you're going, what you're doing, and stuff like that. I think that's a possibility.
I really like that idea. And I think that Bisbee as a committee can be there to listen to.
Oh, yeah, we can attend, but I think it has to have some gravitas to it.
Yeah, I think that council, it could be initiative by the mayor, but all council members make sure they're all invited. And it would be interesting to see if people showed up.
If the council members don't have an interest in doing it on their own, it's not going to be effective.
But it would be interesting.
I mean, we can't even get them to have a board meeting, for God's sake. I've planted the seed for 13 years.
I know you have. You have scar tissue.
So fed up.
Maybe it comes from the mayor. I don't know. But it would be helpful to have some council people on board, too. I don't know.
I think we have to get through this election first.
That's the only way you're going to get the people that don't come to meetings, that don't give a shit about policy and stuff.
No, I really like
maybe
that idea.
Will be there to say to the and it's going to be a, you know, rock throwing, you know. It's, oh, the cities, the streets, and the police, the fire, the this, the that. But still, out of that can come, I think,
In 13 years,
thing.
A council person has never asked me my opinion on anything having to do with business in Old Bisbee. In 13 years, I'm sorry.
But, you know, and just be a listening thing. There's no agenda. It's that we want to listen to. What are your concerns? Do you have concerns about tourism? Do you have concerns about this? Or do you have concerns about that? And then out of that, see if there's some people that emerge that see the need for an organization, because the city can respond to that there is not an organization for businesses. I mean, the mayor can talk about that. We can't talk to every individual business owner. But, you know, if there was an organization, we'd be, you know, be
but
glad.
But, Fred, isn't that kind of going away? I mean, just in general, like chambers of commerce and...
Well, that
because
is,
but, everything is so virtual now. People
right,
don't want to go sit around a table.
Well, they might not, but you have to make the attempt. I mean,
I agree with Fred. And, Kathy, I'm not sure. I know that social media has taken over the world.
The young people don't want to go to meetings.
I get it. And as owner of Facebook stock, I'm delighted. But
that's going down.
But the long and the short of it is, we could try that. I mean, we could certainly visit with David. I mean, we have to get through this happy election first and see how that comes out.
Jesus.
What do you think, Doug? You're on the council.
I don't think, you know, if David wants to take that on, that's who you want to talk to. I don't think that there's council support in that.
So
there would not be council support to go to a meeting with the business community?
There isn't. They don't care.
No, that's
one of them
case.
Only cares about Zacatecas Trail. Let's be real. I mean, and Serena, when she was running, I said, are you going to talk to the business people? Oh, I don't need to. I'm running unopposed.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
I beat my head against the wall for 13 years.
And I will tell you, it was a short story. I mean, Rob Page, for the first time, he lost his electricity last New Year's Day or something. Mm-hmm. First time in all his time as a business owner in the city that a city official showed up. That was David.
Yeah, and the rest of us said, gee, I wonder if they'd do that if it was us.
Exactly, yep. I'm sure of that. Yep. I'm absolutely certain of that. But David showed up, and he was absolutely amazed. And really, I mean, expressed amazement. And Kathy, if your store flooded, would he show up?
David hasn't been in my store once or twice since the last election.
But the long and the short of
Ronnie.
Well, that's true, but Ronnie didn't know where downtown was.
Yeah, no.
But
Marsh.
But the long and the short of this is, I'll talk to David. I
and he needs to look at his subway thing because he created a monster.
Okay, and see stuff like that.
See, those are the things that push the business community apart.
But we're not talking about that, Kathy. What we're talking about is, or what I was suggesting is that you set up a meeting
with
a
council people who don't care.
Well, if council people can go there or not, but the mayor can do it.
Why does the mayor have to do everything? I mean, we've got six people in a council.
You work with where people are at, not where you want them to be at.
Hang on.
And if the council people are not interested, they're not interested.
Kathy,
but
that's the real world. Hang on.
Where's Rob? He hasn't been at a meeting for months.
Okay, but hang on a second. Hang on a second.
God.
I like this idea.
He gives a shit.
The one thing, and yes, will it become a rock-throwing meeting?
No, you just try to control that.
No, it's not a rock toy. I mean, it's just, you know.
No, dude, you try to control that. And if people get out of hand, you just ask them to stop. I mean, I don't think it needs to be a rock toy.
I think what I'm hearing, though, and what I heard in Rob's comment, I've heard in your comment, is that as you two representing the business community say, you know, they really don't care. And then I hear Doug saying, well, he doesn't really know if they'd show up.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
also, David has taken lots of heat, frankly, in this election for providing leadership. I mean, that is
that
number
well
one. That's the number one campaign issue right now in terms of defeating the mayors because he's providing too much leadership.
That I know.
And
that,
so,
but
I mean, I certainly would tell him you're crazy if you want to initiate something like this. But I would.
The thing is, if you call for a meeting like that, and say you get a dozen people there out of the 100 invitations and stuff, you get a dozen people. I think that what will rise to the surface is not only bitches, but it'll be a realization that there isn't any voice for the business community. There's no outlet for the for business community concerns, whether it's over sales tax or tourism, whatever it is. And that may be the catalyst for something else, for those people that are at that meeting, whoever they are. And if nobody comes to the meeting, then nobody comes to the meeting. And okay, so you make your try to do that. And then iBizB is out of that. I mean, we can go to a meeting, we don't get involved in that. You know, and we can, you know, I would have my pitch, you know, say, you know, we need a viable business organization. We really do, you know. There's concerns of the business community is different than current concerns of residents sometimes, and it's different from concerns.
But
of
if you're a
policy.
Councilman in that district, that's part of your job.
Well, okay,
you know, you don't just represent the residents. I mean, who pays the big
this
taxes?
This is not hypothetical.
We do.
No, you go where people are at, Kathy, not where you want them to be, and not where they're supposed to be. Where they're at is where they're at.
Yeah.
Then why bother going there? Because they're at Zacatecas Trail.
Mm.
Well,
Kathy, hang on a second.
It's true.
Hang on a second. I'm older than you are. But you have business scar tissue in this town.
Well, I've also had a councilman tell me that's the only reason he ran for council.
Okay, but coming off of that, let me visit with David. Let me see after this election if he would be willing to do that. I don't think
well, whether he's mayor or not.
Right. I don't think there's any.
If he's not mayor, there's no.
I don't think there's any harm in having a meeting because I would also like to see. I'm sorry, Will Nathan is out of the country right now, but I'd like to see if there are some other people in town who are interested in pulling together a business community because I will tell you. I think, and I want to be very careful here, but I think we could get some planning money in a well-thought-out application from Freeport. The trick would come if we went for a larger grant to come up with a match.
No, Stan, I don't think we are.
You're putting the cart before the horse
here. Yes, exactly.
We need an organization first.
I like Fred's idea because...
I like Fred's idea, too.
It basically, this conversation should come to an end with the idea, and that is, iBizB is not the vehicle for this. It's pretty much a consensus of the people here.
Right.
So it's also nice that if somebody would take the initiative just to listen and pull people together, if they don't show up, you know that there's nothing else you want to do.
We tried that.
If people showed up and they actually were saying, oh, wait a minute, maybe we do have to do something, but it's not iBizB, you know, then you get a positive result out of that. You get a positive result if they don't show up because you know not to continue it.
Our downside risk is minimal.
That's your dead horse kind of thing. And I think we should support the mayor asking, even if no council person wants to show up.
Doug will show up.
I think it's
yeah, but he's not downtown.
He likes free food.
No. I mean, but this Kathy, is why Kimber says there's a disjoint between the city
Kathy,
and business.
If you're going to be in this committee meeting
Kathy.
And keeping, you know, ragging on people.
It's not that Jerry. It's reality.
Hang on, guys. Hang on. At ease.
We've had one board meeting in 2 years.
At ease. Hang on. That's military talk. But anyway, let's make the approach. I like the idea. Let's delay Kimber Lanning. We'll tell her we're giving some real thought of our next steps. We'll visit with David. If David is a reelected mayor, then as mayor, he can convene in such a meeting. If he's not reelected as mayor, probably this committee will dissolve anyway.
I think that we ought to go through, no matter who's elected mayor.
Okay.
We do that. I mean, if Cynthia's elected, we approach her in the same way.
Same way.
We like to do a listening of the business community.
Same way.
Listening?
So. Okay.
Kathy, will you quit negative stuff, man?
Kathy.
I mean, really, you know?
She doesn't know how.
Kathy, hang on. We've gone for years without negativity at this meeting.
I know, but it's that point where Kathy, it's feeling pretty negative.
Kathy, I know, and you've had a rough day too. Hang on. Everybody calm down. The facts of the matter are, we'll try it. Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Fred. No matter who's elected mayor, we go to that candidate, to that person, and we sit down and we say, this is what we'd like to try. And we would need your leadership to do it as the convener of the meeting. And then see what we have. If no one shows up, we try. I don't see any downside risk in doing this.
Yeah, I don't see any. I
mean, okay.
And if a core does form, then you start the discussion.
Then you start the
like
discussion.
No. And so that should be off the table right now for us. Our consensus is, we're not the vehicle for the Arizona Local First Business Community Voice concept. And I think we should move on.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
How about putting that into a motion?
Whatever there's I just no, said, I'm...
I don't think there's a need for a motion, is there?
No. We're a consensus.
No, I mean, that means...
If you record in the minutes simply that there's a consensus that iBizB Committee is not the proper vehicle for the Arizona...
It's not the vehicle.
Local first, and trying to create a more unified
because
voice
the
business committee.
Because the iBizB committee must use its resources and its capabilities in economic development.
And then I think also if you can write in there that discussion centered on requesting the mayor to
convene
maybe a listening meeting with businesses.
I think the mayor should request the council people
to invite the
people in their district.
That's up to the mayor.
Well, the mayor's running the whole town right now.
Okay, hang on. We're not here to discuss the mayor. We're here to discuss how to figure this out. Okay, do you have what we need? Mm-hmm. Excellent. We're going to move on to item two. Now we're going to get into economic development. Okay.
Dead.
This is regarding the low-income housing. First, there's a woman named Peggy Greenberg. She lives in the state of Colorado. She is a developer of low-income housing. She has and assisted living. She has received from us the following information. She's received the study from Ben Posner on assisted living. She has also received, we had an opportunity to get the number of applications that are unmet for low-income housing in the county. 530, this was as of a month ago, 535 applications that cannot be met for low-income housing, yet the people qualify. And that information has been provided to Mrs. Greenberg. So she is working with her team to take a better look at Bisbee, and I anticipate that if this goes forward, she will want to visit with Bisbee. And we'll have members of our committee visit with her too. So that is at least beginning to gain a little traction. I want to go to assisted living. This is a toughie. Assisted living, I happen to have a niece who married a man who is the chief operating officer of 25 nursing homes and assisted living facilities in Indiana and Ohio. I had a long conversation with him. The break-even point for assisted living is you must have at least one-third of the population of the facility as private pay individuals. Now, private pay here in Arizona is at the minimum $3,500 a month and more like $4,000 a month all in, or $48,000 a year. One-third of that, you can do the numbers for a 20 unit facility is going to be, you know,
seven units.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has to be private pay.
And it he also told me
all right,
that where these assisted living places make their money happens to be in rehabilitation, where people come in for periods of time to rehabilitate from open heart surgery or broken hips, that type of thing. And remember, those are break-even figures and no profit. So, looking at Bisbee at 29% poverty level and looking around, he also told me that their he has to replenish his facility each year by 60%. So some of the people obviously die, but a number of these people run out of money.
Yeah, they convert to Medicaid.
But also if they
do
rehab, that's probably another turnover.
And the rehab is another turnover.
That's going to be a big turnover right there.
Right.
Well, the rehab people don't run out of money because they get better.
Well,
that's why they have money.
They also get better, and they also have Medicare.
But they also have enough money to...
But that's going to play into your turnover rate pretty significantly.
Yeah.
Well, and they're old, so even the people with money disappear.
His turnover rate is permanent occupancies.
Oh, that's permanent occupancies?
Mm-hmm. Permanent occupancy turnover
rate. And it's 60%
a year. 60% a year.
A lot of...
That's a bunch.
Dying people.
Well, yeah.
Well, that's why the Germans call it Instation, which is your in station of life.
And right. Well, that's
probably
what
half of the people that have the $48,000 a year don't have it in 3 or 4 years.
That's exactly right.
You know.
Yeah. Remember, that's for an individual. Then, if you get into memory care, it goes up considerably.
$7,000 and $8,000.
Yes. Yes, $7,000 to $8,000 for memory care a month.
So, how does he make his money?
He has a large population.
So by numbers of people.
Oh, yeah, sure.
We'd end up kicking people out and sending them over to a state-run facility where they would take Medicaid.
And Medicaid, watch this one. Medicaid in Indiana, and I can't believe Medicaid in Arizona is going to be much higher, does not cover the cost.
No. Mm-hmm.
So you lose
really
money.
Sad.
It can't be assisted living. It has to be skilled nursing care.
That's right.
Yeah.
I had that with my mother.
That's right.
Oh, really?
So that gives us a feel. I wanted to put those statistics on the table because when people talk to us about assisted living, I think the harsh reality of this in Bisbee, Arizona, would be very, very tough to make it a profitable operation.
I mean, isn't the average income here like $30,000, $32,000 a year?
I don't know what the average income is. I know what the poverty rate is, and I know that 15% of the people in poverty are, 15% of the population are senior citizens. So you put that to the poverty rate. I mean, you're getting into some pretty tough numbers. I mean, we have
15%
people
of the population of Bisbee or 15% of the poverty rate? That's
15% of the poverty rate.
Okay, that's not very significant.
But that would tally with what your numbers you gave me regarding.
Bisbee has the highest child poverty rate.
Child poverty rate, sure.
That was shocked.
So, I think when we talk about assisted living, knowing those numbers, I really think it's off the table.
Yeah.
You know, the things that seem to really work here, and this isn't something that I think we could really do, but the places that seem to work are the little mom-and-pop places that take, you know, 6 to 10 people into their homes and get licensed, and those are the places that seem to work here. And there are a few of them, and I know people who have had parents there.
If
like Robin Downey had her mom there, and it was a memory
care. They're flying under the table, I think.
No, they were totally licensed. Above board. When Rochelle and Mark were here.
Are there any that are now in existence here in town?
Yeah, there is. I forget who, if I think really hard, I can remember who's got a parent there.
Then they're not charging a lot of money because...
No, it's not. And it's a small thing, and like... When Mark and Rochelle were here, they did total memory care. And they usually had 3 to 5 little ladies living on their property. And they did everything by the book. You know, they had CNAs working, et cetera, et cetera. And there were people who didn't have a lot of money. And they had people on Medicaid. And I think those little pods are working. And I could talk to
memory
Rochelle.
Memory care probably gets you up into Altec.
Rochelle and Mark are in
Tucson.
I can call them. They're in Tucson now. But do you remember Mark and Rochelle?
Yeah, I remember them.
Yeah.
Freena also used to have the same thing.
Yeah, but it's been a lot longer since Freena's done it.
Yeah.
Mark and Rochelle had it probably 7 years ago, 8 years ago, right before they left.
As they could make it work.
Yeah, because that was a real workable model, and they sold it, and I think somebody's still running that place.
Might be out in the
Kathy, do some homework.
Okay.
Find out.
That'd be good.
Yeah, because I was surprised that just two little people could do that with
the PCAs. So that brings us up to date. We may have an interested person in low-income housing. I did tell the firm in Phoenix, which specializes in tax credit financing, as we discussed at our last meeting, that the city would be in a position perhaps to give land as a matching grant to that. And I did explain that depending, if we had to, we could go to Freeport and see if we could get land, or the city did have roughly 8 acres of land adjoining the senior center, which would be a great location. As long as we didn't have to worry about 2 miles to the bloody hospital. Okay.
But this is low-income housing, not senior housing, right?
This is low-income senior housing.
Low-income senior housing, okay.
Right. Okay. Fred, do you want to do an update on our trail project, which we talked about?
Well, where are we? We met with Robert. And, you know, I like Robert a lot, but he's gone back and forth about the... What's it called?
Galena.
Galena Trail.
Yeah, first we could do it. I mean, so we start doing it. And then the lawyers came and said we had to stop. And then we stopped for 2 years. And then said, oh, we can do it if we have guided tours. And now even the guided tours are a little kind of shaky for them because they're still doing reclamation work and stuff. So his thoughts was, you know, to do a trail up to the murals.
He also did tell us in terms of the Galena Trail, they were probably about 2 years out, Fred.
That too, yeah. That'd be 2 years away. And
that they were doing. And then he talked about, and I didn't know to take him for gospel or not, he talked about then they would put up kiosks. And I mean, he began to paint a picture of really developing the trail because it would show their
reclamation. It's all the stuff we've talked about.
Well, I know that he was very positive with the Smithsonian involvement coming back for interpretive signage.
Yes.
No, I mean, he is very positive. There is support in the Phoenix office for doing this.
It's just not quite now.
It's just not quite now, and especially since Gallagher and people are looking at stuff around the mine tour and the foundation and stuff like that. And so my feeling is, let's take Galena off the table completely. And then I do not want to do anything with trails anymore.
Right.
I mean, if somebody wants to pick it
you
up.
You are trailed out.
I'm trailed out. if somebody wants to pick it up and do the mural stuff, that's fine. We've tried to, you know, I can probably write an article and ask if somebody's interested in doing that and stuff, but I've tried to get the hiking group interested. They're not interested in it.
I would let, actually, let this concept go into the Galena group. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's where it belongs.
In the Gallagher group.
Gallagher. The Gallagher group. I think that's where it belongs. They're looking at a lot of different things, and the more I hear about it, the more I feel good that they're looking at experiential tourism, mm-hmm. with multiple offerings. And this is what I've been saying for over 20 years. so it's kind of exciting, and even though it's not going to be done today, it'll be done in a year or 2 years. I think that's really the vehicle for it and where it belongs. And I've heard that they are interested in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have too.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to move on.
Yeah.
I'm going to move on to something I like, which is a roundtable discussion. But no, Fred has an idea that I really like. Fred?
It's not trails.
It's not trails.
It's not local first.
Which idea?
It's not local first.
It's not assisted living.
It's the articles.
Steering. Back, you know, a year and a half ago or so, we talked about doing, maybe reaching out to tech workers,
mm-hmm.
and trying to attract tech workers. So my current idea is, if we had enough money, it would be good to put an ad in the San Jose Mercury, full page ad saying, "Dear Apple, we regret to withdraw our name from consideration for your next factory." And then go on to say, "We only have one stoplight. That's we like it. We have clean air. We have blah, blah, blah. We have, you know, stuff like that. What we have," and say, we do not want our name in consideration any longer. something like that. So we can't afford an ad like that, but I thought maybe a letter to the San Jose Mercury along those lines would be okay.
And well, that was all part of that strategic plan we were going to play with, where we captured everyone's ideas. We were going to make a spreadsheet, and then it just
went.
Well, but I think that articles geared, and if it has that kind of, and I'm using the word cute, not in a negative word, but that kind of cute opening would be picked up by other groups, other technology groups, and other things that could be interesting. Remember, there's magazines out there, there's all kinds of stuff reaching into the tech world. And I also said, look, I don't mind being the recipient of those phone calls, because we have on our committee people we can steer them to. We can have discussions with groups that make sense.
Well, who in our community is aware of the tech group kind of, you know, contacts? I mean, there must be some kind of...
When you say tech group, I mean, this is something that's been unclear to me. Are you talking about like the Golden Triangle in San Diego? Are you talking about individual technical people who can work remotely?
You're talking about that?
Yes.
You're talking about the range of people that work in the tech industry, the IT, graphics.
Yeah.
But corporations, gaming, graphic, or employees?
Businesses. And
small businesses.
And self-employed.
Small business.
We don't have any bandwidth.
But we can
When
we look into
pipe.
That, when
there's
we
fat
look
pipe
into
downtown.
That, we can get
right
the pipe.
Right into the convention center.
We can get the pipe.
Yeah.
And in fact, they hook
How
it to...
How do I get it?
They
pay for it.
They hook it to the gas
Cable
lines.
One.
Cable One has a separate fast speed that's like $100 a month.
Why don't
you
tell
anybody?
No, we're talking about...
Tapping into the bandwidth?
We're talking about more higher speed.
Are you talking about like fiber type?
Yeah, fiber optic.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. That's here in Bisbee, but you have to pay for it. And Rob, I wish Rob was here, because I think his building is wired.
What we can do is Cable One will help us put in the necessary high-speed equipment that these people need.
But would it, okay, if it's like a fiber backbone in the convention center?
This is Kathy's world.
Then
yes.
You would need a fiber backbone every place somebody was working.
Well, I don't know the particulars, Kathy, but the possibility is there, and I was told that it is an actuality.
Yeah, I was told it was an actuality.
I don't know the particulars.
Because I know David said they could step up if...
That is off the table.
It was needed.
Kathy, if it comes up, you get to be our expert.
The idea is to talk with people in the tech industry as much as we can figure out who those people are, both corporations, self-employed
small companies,
startups, to get some kind of interest.
So I'm going back to my question. Do we have people in Bisbee that are tech people, self-employed, small companies, that could advise us on how to get this word out?
Yes, I think we have a person on our committee.
You
think it's Will?
I'll tell you why I think it's Will. Will is investing in technology companies through his venture capital firm. He now has, he told me, 18 companies in which they've invested in.
Then why don't you take this concept up with Will?
We will. But the trick is, what we looked at was an ability to reach out to this, let's just call it tech world, the IT world, whatever you want to call it. There are a number of people are now working remotely. Bisbee could be of interest to some of those people.
But you wouldn't have the backbone then. It would have to be like a big company. That's why I was concerned.
Okay, but those are technical problems that can be resolved. They're not things that stop people from coming here.
It would. I mean, Fred, if it rains, I don't get internet.
Hang on. Kathy, I've had the conversation with Cable One. They've assured us they have the capability of supporting this type of
thing. Then why am I down half the time when it rains downtown? I mean, I'm serious.
No, let me.
It's embarrassing.
So listen, when somebody suggests something, you immediately find an obstacle. No, you do.
I'm talking about the reality of Cable One.
Okay.
It's horrible.
This is how, you know, when people come up with ideas in this committee, you immediately come up with ideas why it won't work. Or suggestions why it won't work.
Well,
you're not open.
Cable One's pretty bad.
You're not open to new things.
If we had an internet company that was dependable.
Kathy, hang on. We all experience Cable One going.
Yeah, and I can't run my credit cards or anything.
Kathy, we all experience it. I mean, you're not the Lone Ranger.
Old Bisbee's the worst.
You're not. Oh, you maybe.
It is.
66 Mojave Drive is not great.
It's better than Old Bisbee.
But the long and the short of it is, they assured us they can support it. If we find interest, then we'll have discussions, and we'll have very serious discussions.
Why don't we use that leverage to try to get them to serve the people who are already here? So tell them, you know, look, we're interested in expanding, but first...
I don't want to put energy into that. I want to put energy into attracting people.
And let them come and leave.
Well, maybe they will, but I want them to get them here.
I want to get them here. I want them to see this town. I want them to realize... What it would be to work remotely out of this town. We'll work with Cable One. We're not the only town that needs high-speed equipment and things. And we'll work with them. But I like that idea. I think it makes sense.
I think Kim would really work with you, too.
Kim would work with us.
And it does... It's a shot in the dark. It's just throwing a letter out to the newspapers.
I think it's a great idea.
So I thought it was a great idea, too.
I really do.
A second suggestion is there's NPR news. God, I went blank all of a sudden.
Frontline?
Business news program. Hi, Rizdal is the guy that does it. Anyway, I was thinking that what you think of writing a letter to him and asking him, outlining some of the problems of being a border town with economic development problems and tourism as the main stuff, and asking them to come down and do a couple-part series on on the difficulties of economic development
for
in rural areas.
For small town, I agree.
It's just
we might be able to learn something.
It's worth a shot to try.
It may stimulate interest on their part.
Yeah.
Because they have listeners all over the United States and the world.
And Marketplace, that's the name of it.
Okay.
That's the name of the program.
Yeah. And I think we might be able to learn something from them too.
Yeah, possible. I mean, who knows whether they're interested or not, but they're looking for ideas. It's on their website that, come on, contact us. We're always looking for
I listen to it whenever I get out of Cochise County on my radio.
Yeah. Fred, I think these are great ideas. I think we have to be proactive, because if we're not, we could sit
for days.
Well,
we're floundering here.
Yeah, we are.
I mean, it's, there's the problems. The problem is that we've got a tourist-dependent economy.
Right.
We've got a small portion of the populace that is adverse to further tourism development and, in fact, doesn't like the level that we do have now. But there's no suggestions on how we can get additional revenue into town. And it's like people think, well, you can do this, you can do that. We've tried our damnedest to do a range of stuff here. And we're not on the way to any place. It's difficult to get people to come down here. And I don't know what the solution is anymore. I really don't. I thought tourism was, would be a bridge over the next 5 or 6 years to that there would be other industries developed and stuff.
I thought tourism would spark interest in people wanting to move here, frankly. And I haven't seen that in the terms of developers wanting to come in and create.
But the tourism has a really long tradition here. It's with my groups. That's all in the late 60s, before the mines closed.
Before the mines closed, yeah.
And I don't think it's going to go away. I get a lot of amusement out of listening to people, since I work and live in Old Bisbee, and I am a tourism organization in terms of paying my bills. Yes, it's really hard to find parking. February, March, April. That's our tourist season.
That's it.
3-day weekends and around Christmas. That's the tourist season. And yes, sometimes when there's an event in town, it's hard to find parking. But that's not the huge issue, It really isn't. And it's people like to talk about it that don't experience it, or they remember going to Bisbee once in February.
Yeah.
Right.
But it is not an issue. I mean, one of the things that people are starting to talk about that's concerning me a little bit more is infilling with little houses. And I think that's going to, in terms of parking, that could have another impact. But tourism seasons, it's very seasonal.
Well, a big challenge right now, too, is Daniels. He's trying to become the border sheriff. And that creates a lot of negative stuff.
About the business. Yeah.
And I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. It's like our own Joe Arpaio or something.
Okay, I think we're at a point.
Oh, Jed, let's do color-coded.
I think we're at the point that we've got to try other things because, and I like Fred's ideas a lot. Hey, look, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but at least we tried. And I'm hopeful that this Mrs. Greenberg will want to put in, low-cost senior living. That, to me, would be a real breakthrough. But I've got interest out of the firm that does tax credit financing, because that's how they get their fees. So, obviously they're interested. So we'll see it progress. Any other things to discuss?
City manager informs me that we have missed the deadline for putting the proposition on the November ballot for the lodging tax.
Damn it.
I know. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever...
Well, it is interesting.
I thought it was at the end of August.
You were questioning that.
Well, that's what I just informed.
Oh.
Damn it.
Gee, that was nice.
That's a shame.
Who's
we have to wait
to communicate that information.
Well, 2 years, you could always do a special election, but that's very costly.
No. It costs money when we overthrow Cynthia.
Well, the council tabled the proposal.
Yeah.
It was up for vote in the council table.
Why did they do that?
Well, there was not in there. Was, I got mixed. Frankly, I got mixed feedback.
Nobody
in terms,
even understands it. You know, it doesn't affect Bisbee.
It doesn't affect them at all.
You know, I don't think people understand what sales tax, bed tax. They don't understand how it breaks out.
Mixed feedback in terms of whether, I guess, from my perspective, which got quoted in the paper, was whether we increase it. And there were certainly individuals, in terms of business persons, saying that you're taking a risk trying to increase the lodging tax.
Were they lodging business people?
No.
No.
But they're,
they don't even know what bed tax is.
Were their businesses dealing in tourism?
No, they're just concerned that in terms of what I said earlier, we got a person campaigning on this, that certainly that, you know, this could be used as saying, you know, to this is one way of expressing your vote against tourism. Because it's citizens who are voting
on
this.
It's
not lodging tax.
Every time I call an Airbnb, I say, and what is your bed tax?
I was just saying that the increase, I mean, I'm just trying to explain to you what my hesitancy was, and that is increase could be seen as something, you know, again, it was your recommendation to us was very general in terms of increasing, the promotion of tourism. And there are people who feel we should not be increasing the promotion of tourism.
Perhaps those people ought to be voted out of office.
No, they're not on council.
Well, then why did the council vote against it?
I don't know.
They don't listen to us.
They didn't vote against it. They voted to table it.
For more information. They wanted more information from Jen.
Right. They had
to
not
see where the money, existing
money,
is. But
now it's too late.
I don't know whether it was early enough then. I mean, I don't.
I think it was. I thought that it was to the end of the month was the deadline to get stuff to pass to be put on the November ballot.
It's really frustrating.
Well, Kathy, thank you for coming out tonight.
That's just what he's informed me.
He's really swollen. His leg's really swollen.
Okay, I'm going to entertain a motion to adjourn.
Oh, I wanted to.
Yes, sir.
Before one thing. Maybe at the next meeting, I'd like to bring a letter. I'd like the treasurer to write to both Expedia, HomeAway, Vacation Rentals by Owner, and demand that they start collecting tax for Bisbee, bed tax.
Is VRBO collecting?
No.
I didn't think so.
Airbnb does.
Everybody picks on Airbnb, and they're the only ones that do.
they made a decision at the corporate level, at the state level and stuff. but I think that we have to kind of be proactive about that.
I think we have to be proactive, yes.
It's just at the very beginning phase. I've been talking with John Acosta. He came to me. And you talked about cross-border and maybe doing something with that. We're going to be adding to the Mariachi Festival our mining heritage and starting to share it and trying to build more of a cross-border thing. And I see it for our community as, no, we don't have mining now, but we're a town that copper built, and we shouldn't forget it. And I think it'd be great, and I was going to go and talk to some other people to see if we can restart the oral history program, and so when people come up, they can do that.
Oh, cool.
So we're going to have a tent at the Mariachi Festival, and we're going to encourage people from Cananea and New Mexico and all of that to come around.
Nice.
Oh, excellent.
So it's a partnership between the museum and the homeless shelter.
Anything else? Go to the order?
Yep. But it's just started. Just started discussion.
I move that we adjourn.
Second. I second. All in favor, I do.
Are we ever going to get these people to show